shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. How you doing?
Hey, Father. Tony?
Nick, good. Over there? Out without the mask.
Yep.
So the second time I've seen him without the mask in 3 months or 4 months now? What is it? 4 months?
I forgot what he looks like.
Yeah. Well, I see. He's behind you.
Yeah. So.
All right, everybody. Before we begin, we must pray. We must. And we pray for the nation and very much in need of prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. And for our nation, Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Spirit,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of salvation, cover us and the whole world, cover our nation. The ocean of the blood of Jesus Christ, set us free. The blood of Jesus Christ, full of holiness and compassion,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, our strength and power,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the everlasting covenant,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the foundation of the Christian faith,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the armor of God,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the divine charity,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the scourge of demons,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the help of those in bondage,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the sacred wine,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the power of Christians,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the defender of the Catholic wall,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Christian's true faith,
set us free.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the healing blood, save us. Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the anointing blood,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the boldness of the children of God,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the commander of Christian warriors,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of resurrection,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the drink of heavenly angels,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the consolation of God the Father,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the circumcision of the Gentiles,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the peace of the world,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the sunshine of heaven and earth,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, a rainbow in heaven,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the hope of innocent children,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the word of God in our hearts,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, a heavenly weapon,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, a divine wisdom,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the foundation of the world,
save us.
Precious blood of Jesus Christ, the mercy of God the Father,
save us.
O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, cleanse the sins of the world and cleanse the sins of our nation. O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, refine the world and refine our nation. O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, teach us how to console Jesus. Let us pray. O precious blood of our salvation, we believe, we hope, and trust in you. Deliver all those who are in the hands of the infernal spirits, we beseech you. Protect the dying against the works of evil spirits, and welcome them into your eternal glory. Have mercy on the whole world and strengthen us to worship and console the Sacred Heart. We adore you, O most precious blood of Jesus Christ. Heal the wounds in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, heal the wounds in the most Sacred Heart of Jesus. O most sacred, O most precious blood of Jesus Christ, heal the wounds in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Almighty and eternal God, King of kings and Lord of lords, graciously turn your gaze to us who invoke you with confidence. Bless us, citizens of the United States of America. Grant peace and prosperity to our nation. Illuminate those who govern us so that they may commit themselves to the common good in respect of your holy law. Protect those who, defending the inviolable principles of the natural law and your commandments, must face the repeated assaults of the enemy of the human race. Keep in the hearts of your children courage for the truth, love for virtue, and perseverance in the midst of trials. Make our families grow in the example of our Lord, in the example that our Lord has given us. Together with his most holy mother and Saint Joseph in the home of Nazareth, give to our fathers and mothers the gift of strength to educate wisely the children with which you have blessed them. Give courage to those in spiritual combat. Fight the good fight as soldiers of Christ against the furious forces of the children of darkness. Keep each one of us, O Lord, in your most sacred heart, and above all, he whom your providence has placed at the head of our nation. Bless the President of the United States of America so that, aware of his responsibility and his duties, he may be a knight of justice, a defender of the oppressed, a firm bulwark against your enemies, and a proud supporter of the children of light. Place the United States of America and the whole world under the mantle of the Queen of Victories, our unconquered leader in battle, the Immaculate Conception. It is thanks to her and through your mercy that the hymn of praise rises to you, O Lord, from the children whom you have redeemed in the most precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yep, we got to pray for the nation, pray for ourselves. I really, you know, this is a...
Oh, oops, water.
Last week it was... Okay, forgot that I took the That's top off the bottle of water. Did you see that?
That's what happens, yeah. I don't... Wow. I try to not mix.
It's kind of like, you know, wearing the mask and you go to take a drink of water.
And you have a mask.
You got a mask on, you forget you have a mask. I got water all over the place. You think God, it didn't get on the... Well, it kind of did. All right.
It won't break.
Take care of that. All right.
Could be worse. It could be soda. That would be worse.
Yeah, that would be bad. This has never happened to me before. All these, this is a spiritual battle. See,
yeah,
we're not.
That's what it is.
I just finished the letter for the this mm-hmm. coming Sunday, which will be the homily as well. And I end it with the words of St. Paul. Mm-hmm. But he didn't say this. He does say it in other ways and in other places. But I end it by saying, we are at war, but brothers and sisters, as St. Paul reminds us, what will separate us from the love of Christ? Will anguish or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? No. In all these things we conquer overwhelmingly through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor present things nor future things nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So true. Mm. As I'm wiping all this water off the desk here.
I still reach for the bulletin at the end of Mass, and it's not there anymore. It's online.
Hey, so it's not there. Yeah, that's...
So used to doing it.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry for the distraction here, but no. I just spilled water all over the place. I'm tired today.
Yeah. You're not doing it.
So we had a... Although today's Tuesday, it's the day after Monday. Monday's the day after Sunday. We had an unbelievably busy Sunday. We had the confirmation. Yeah. So this year, so people understand, normally, I've never done a confirmation before. I had confirmed a man and his son on Holy Saturday, but to actually do a confirmation.
Right.
But because of the COVID, because of the pandemic, the bishops aren't doing the confirmation, so the pastors have been delegated to do the confirmations, so we have, and because of the social distancing, we have to. I'm doing two, so we did. Right. We did first. The first one was on Sunday. We had 24 who were confirmed, and then I'll have another one at the end of August. That'll be in Spanish, and I think we have about the same number of people. So it's a nice little group for our parish, and it was nice, but it was really really hot, as you know. It was so hot. And by the way, you know, I want to apologize, and I'm sure everybody remembers that I said I had some good news on Friday, never got to it, and I'm sure you want to hear some good news. Mm-hmm. So reluctant to what's that?
So get ready for the good news.
So get ready for the good news. But no, what I wanted to share with you on Friday was that our students, the confirmandi, these who were confirmed, they had because they've been in lockdown mm-hmm. as well. So they've been doing classes, I guess you call that virtual classes,
yeah, online.
And following everything mm-hmm. online. And they had a whole series of questions. And once you know it, I didn't even think about it.
To bring them.
Well, no, because I right. put them in the grinder. Or the,
right. Oh, yeah.
The, what do they call that? The
shredder.
The shredder.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got one now. So, and because their names are on
right,
there, and
it's personal.
It's personal, and so yeah. I didn't want to. But although they were, but the answers were absolutely beautiful.
But when you did the homily, I was thinking about that. I'd like to have known what the questions were, because I wonder if I would have answered them the same way. I was thinking about that.
I think so. I think perhaps. No, of course you would. Yeah. Yeah. But these are young people, and I was I say good news because this is really cause for hope. They took very seriously the questions, and they didn't. They just weren't one or two word answers. They really were thought through. Their answers were thought provoking, and really impressed. Mm-hmm. I was really impressed. What was interesting was when we set the day for the confirmation. So mm-hmm. We couldn't do it at a Sunday Mass because we have to social distance. We have a limited number of people in the church. We're blessed with a big church, so we can have, 125 or 150 people, I think, at a given time. But if you take 24 confirmandi mm-hmm. and then their sponsors and then members of the family, I think
makes them a lot bigger.
So I want to say each had 10 tickets, but they couldn't have had 10 tickets, right? Because would have gone over.
Less than 10.
So they had less than 10 tickets. Yeah. Tickets sounds crazy, a ticket for Mass, right?
Yeah.
But in any case, so when I set the date for the confirmation, We didn't want to. We couldn't do it on any evening because we have a good crowd that comes in the evening. Really, a lot of really a nice group of people that come in there for the evening mass. So I didn't want to disrupt the 7 o'clock mass. We have that every night from Monday to Friday, and then of course we have the Saturdays. We're doing just memorial masses and baptisms. Lots of baptisms, memorial masses. I have my first wedding coming up next week.
Wow.
And because they were all postponed, and many of them were postponed until the next year, because you're also dealing with their banquet halls and all that. And so I've got one coming up next week, and quinceañeras and all that. So, but the memorial masses, because of course people died during the pandemic, and we couldn't have funerals, couldn't have the mass during that time. So, there's a lot of cremations. But anyway. So we had that. So when are we going to do the confirmation? So we chose the 3 o'clock hour on Sunday. So it's just apart from the other six masses that take place on Sunday. So it was a full day, a full hot day. The hottest day.
It was just humid. That's what humid. It is. Yeah, the hot wasn't that. You know, it was just humid.
A couple of people fainted in the church. Okay, Nick, 1 second. But the thing that impressed me was, we'll take a break because he wants us to take a break. I'm going to be obedient here. And then come back and tell you what was really good news that I wanted to share with you on Friday that really impressed me about these students, these young people, and how the Holy Spirit works. Mm-hmm. How the Holy Spirit mysteriously moves through the life of the church, and I truly, truly believe that. We wouldn't be here today if not for the Holy Spirit. None of us.
Right.
The church wouldn't be in existence, that's for sure. So, okay, everybody, we will take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony, and you're listening to Listen, Support, Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. During this COVID-19 virus pandemic, offering you prayer and inspiration through your faith.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's some welcome news. Father Anthony is reopening St. Stanislaus Kostka for the worship of Almighty God. St. Stan's will be limited to 150 people at any given time, and you must register to attend Mass. Because there's a lot of information that you'll need to have, we recommend that you visit ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. You can also register to attend Mass at St. Stan's by calling the parish office at 773-278-2470. That's 773-278-2470. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I got to get energized here. I've been working all morning.
I think it's kind of in the air. It's a little bit less humid today, but you're still drained from the days.
We got through the weekend. It was very beautiful. Tell you the good news in a moment, you know. And if I don't do it today, I'll do it tomorrow.
I can see those poor people. They're saying, come on, would you just get to the good news?
I mean, I thought it was good. I think it was good
it
news.
It is good news.
But let me just go right into it. Talking about ourselves and the weather and how
we're not
getting old and tired. And, you know, not you, but.
Oh, me too.
So, I will speak about myself for a moment here.
Just for a moment.
So Sunday, it was a nonstop day. I mean, it was in the vestments all day. And because it was so hot and humid, I mean, I was soaked, really soaked.
You know what, Father?
What?
I'm going to tell you. I was the same way, but then I looked at you and I thought to myself, be a man. Look at
be
this
a man,
poor,
yeah, yeah.
Look at poor Father's.
Yeah,
know,
right. So we shouldn't even be talking about it. We should be more manly about that too, and not even woe is me, oh woe is
no,
me.
But, I mean,
but it's not woe
hot.
Is me. The point was that, you know, God gives the grace. And I at the end of the day I thought, and I've said this before, sometimes I think I'm the happiest man in the world. Now that's very interesting that I use the word happy because
yeah.
I often
you're not happy.
Think of myself as just joyful, but as I mentioned the other night, and I really mean this sincerely, the two most attractive people I've ever met, Pope John Paul II and Mother Teresa of Calcutta, and I had the great fortune of meeting both of them, being in the presence of both of them, Mother Teresa once, but Pope John Paul II many times. And in fact, Mother Teresa was giving retreat to her sisters in the Bronx at St. Anthony's, the formation group. It was about 44 plus sisters, novices, and it was a 9-day novena retreat. And so speaking about how the Holy Spirit works, when Sister Guadalupe had invited me to do this, I was giving classes. This is when I was newly ordained a priest. Actually, this is really a beautiful story. It's a long story, but I won't go into the whole thing, but how I ended up working with the Missionaries of Charity. Because all through my, I say the four things that got me through the seminary was certainly the Holy Eucharist, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and so Pope John Paul II and Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Those were the four pillars that got me through 9 years in the seminary. If I didn't have these four, these things to lean on, lean into Jesus, like St. John, lean into the heart of Jesus, into the Holy Eucharist, the Blessed Virgin Mary, just, you know, entrust my life to her. For some reason, she's stayed very close to me. I've always felt that closeness to the Mother of God. God and Our Lady, you know, they're in heaven, but mystically present to us and as through the Word of God and through the sacraments, that Jesus is certainly present to us. But Our Lady, it's just the mystery of the mystical body of Christ, you know. So, but in the battle with us right now on the world stage, we were so blessed to have Pope John Paul II and Mother Teresa, two great saints. I mean, really on the world stage, so that everybody, there's nobody in the world who doesn't know of Pope John Paul II or Mother Teresa of Calcutta, both who have been canonized as saints. But the, so I always wanted to be close to her sisters because it just, every one of those sisters seemed to emanate this beautiful holiness. It's just something very beautiful. In fact, that's what the book that really drew me into Mother Teresa was, Something Beautiful for God, by Malcolm Muggeridge, who was converted because of Mother Teresa. He was converted to the faith, the Catholic faith. He was from Great Britain. But in any case, I left the seminary. I was newly ordained priest. I was called to give a day of recollection, a first Saturday day of recollection at Our Lady of Sorrows. And so I did, and I got there, and the first row of pews were all Missionaries of Charity, the sisters of Mother Teresa. There are the daughters of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. This is in 1984. And I was so moved by that, you know, I felt humbled. Certainly, I thought, I'm giving a day of recollection, a retreat. I've got these sisters here. I felt really, incompetent, inadequate. I didn't know. I just felt like, I'm not going to be able to. I mean, how can you even begin to compare yourself to these holy women who have really given up everything to live among the poorest of the poor? So anyway, I did the retreat. There were many other people there as well. And the next day, the superior, Sister Guadalupe, called me, and she asked if I would come once a week and give classes to the sisters. And I thought, there's no way I'm going to give classes to the missionaries of charity. Who am I, you know? What do I know? I mean, if anything, they need to teach me. And in fact, that's what happened. So I did go for probably 6 years. 6 years, the whole 6 years I was at St. Hyacinth. And then I stayed with them a little bit afterwards. I was the first lay missionary of the first director of the lay missionaries of charity, because during that time, Mother Teresa had put together the constitution for the lay missionaries, and I was the first director of the lay missionaries. But in any case, so I did go. I went once a week and to the sisters, and then I was pretty much connected to them, and I was doing retreats for the sisters, you know, like a 3-day retreat here. And I wasn't a pastor, so I was able to do that. I had time. And it was a beautiful experience, because it really was, you know, while I was instructing, I was being instructed, you know. It was very beautiful. But then I was really, really busy, and the Sister Guadalupe, the superior, said, we want you to come to New York, to the Bronx, to St. Anthony's, and do or give a 9-day novena retreat to the sisters there, the young sisters. And I thought, there's no way. I said, first, there's no way. I have no time to even prepare for a 9-day novena retreat. I had my responsibilities in the parish, and I'm, you know.
And then you learned a very lesson that day, didn't you?
What was that?
That you can't say no.
You cannot say no. I have learned to say no. I had to learn to say no after I became a pastor. Mm-hmm. But she said, they're just so convincing. She said, you don't need preparation. She says, you're prepared already. Just put it in God's hands. The Lord will lead you through the 9-day retreat. So I said, okay, I'll do it. And she also said, Mother Teresa will be there. At the end, she'll be there for the vows, for the first vows. Mother Teresa was going to be there. So that was also a draw, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, I made no preparations. I'm on the plane going to New York, and all of a sudden, you know what a panic attack is?
Yes, I have.
I think that was the first time ever I had a panic attack on the plane. And I was on this plane, trapped. Wanted to get out. I thought, I'm going. There's 40 plus sisters waiting in New York for this novena 9-day retreat, 3 conferences a day, plus the Holy Mass and a homily. And I have no preparation, because Sister told me not to prepare, and I had no time to prepare. And so I was just beginning to sweat and shake, and all of a sudden I shut my eyes, and I saw the apostles in the boat in the midst of a storm, and that boat is being rocked back and forth in this turbulent sea. And then, to make things worse, they think they see a ghost, and they're even more afraid. It's Jesus, who Jesus calls out and says, it is I. You know, don't be afraid. And Peter said, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come, and I will come. And he said, it is I. And so Peter got out of the boat, and he began walking on the water. And he did fine until he turned away, he turned his eyes away from Jesus, and he began to sink. He realized, I'm walking on water, and there's this heavy wind and a turbulent sea. And he turns away, and he begins to sink, and he cries out, Lord, save me. And Jesus says, oh, man of little faith, you know, the fire will not burn you. The water will not drown you. I'm extrapolating now from the prophet Isaiah. And but that image came to me in such a powerful way, just out of nowhere. It just came to me, and it just, as if the Lord brought calm to the sea. And I went after that, and then that pulled me out of this panic attack. I think it was a panic attack. And but that brought, I had peace in my heart. I got to New York, and it was a wonderful, it was just a beautiful, beautiful experience, 9 days. And then the nice thing was that Sister Fatima, who was the regional superior, was just a great cook. She was from India, so she mm-hmm. cooked all this food with curry and all that. I can taste it now. And so I look forward to that every day. And I had to privately, you know, I had a private, she would come and sit and she would talk to me, while I'm eating. And then they had a tea time, you know, and tea and cookies. It was great. But Mother Teresa didn't make it because there was an earthquake in Armenia. Wow. And that was the door that allowed her into Armenia. She had been trying to get into Armenia. And so I spoke with the Petrie sisters, Ann Petrie, who did the film Mother Teresa, a documentary. It's just absolutely beautiful. And Mother Teresa was supposed to go from the Congo to New York. It was in New York, the retreat. But because of the earthquake, the government finally relented and allowed her to come in with her sisters to tend to the needs of the victims of the earthquake, so she couldn't be there mm-hmm. in New York. But it was a wonderful experience. Anyway, to make a long story short, I said this is a long story and I can't make it short.
Right.
When I did finally meet, I had met Mother Teresa before that, mm-hmm. But the same thing with Pope John Paul II. I'm sure I've mentioned this on the radio before, but when I saw Mother Teresa, and see, at that point I was going to leave the seminary, but I saw that she was coming to St. Louis for this some kind of a congress. It was called Whatever Happened to Religious Life in America. That mm-hmm. was in 1976 or 1977. You know, think about it now. And I thought she's going to be in St. Louis. I was already packing my bags to leave, and I wanted to see, but you had to have $40. It was a $40 entrance fee, and I had no money at that time. And when you know what it happened to be, right around my birthday, and my mother sent me a birthday card, and it had exactly $40 in the birthday card. And so I was able to go. And my mother knew nothing about this retreat this desire that I had to meet Mother Teresa. Right. So, but what I saw in her, and that's what kept me in the seminary, is actually being in the, and this was in a big hall, it was in a convention center. I was in the fourth row. I knew when she walked in, and we were getting ready for the mass, so I knew you could feel her presence, you know, not that anybody, you know, there was no, you just felt something, and I said, gosh, Mother Teresa must be in the hall. And she sat, like, in the front row, just four rows in front of me. I couldn't take my eyes off her. And then just to watch her pray. Actually, it reminded me of when I would watch my grandmother pray. Mm-hmm. When she would visit us, we'd go to Mass. Or when she would even pray in our room, because we would want my grandmother, there were eight of us, and so three girls had one room, two girls had another room. My brothers and I, we all had our own room. And when my grandmother would visit, we'd want, you know, everybody wanted her to sleep in their room.
Yeah.
So she would have a cot that a little bed that we would mm-hmm. move from place to place, and she'd spend a couple of nights and with my sister, you know, like this. But I would watch her as she prayed. I would pretend like I was sleeping, but I kept an eye open because she would always pray the rosary, you know, and it was mm-hmm. just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful sight to watch her pray. In any case, Mother Teresa and Pope John Paul, I saw the same thing in Pope John Paul II. I never saw the kind of suffering, just this deep, deep suffering, a deep sadness and suffering, but simultaneously a deep joy, is the word contagious? It was a joy. It was just the inner. It's so contradictory, but it was. I thought, gosh, I want that. Not that I want the suffering, but I want that kind of that joy. When I saw them, both of them, I understood what it must have been to be in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's just something that was just. There are no words to describe. And then during the when Mother Teresa was giving her a talk, she was on a panel with, by the way, Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Uh-huh. He was there as well. This is just right before he died.
Wow.
But when she talked, you know, she was looking right at me. Like she was speaking directly to me. Her eyes, she didn't take her eyes off me. And I was humbled by that. Mm. And everything she said was really went right to my heart. And so after, you know, during the break or whatever, everybody's congregating in the back. And I was talking to me. I says, you know, gosh, she didn't take her eyes off me. She had her eyes on me the whole time. And everybody said, no, she had her eyes. Everybody said, no, she was looking, she had her eyes on me.
On you, it was me.
Everybody felt the same thing. Wow. They felt that her eyes bore right into their soul, into their heart. It's a wonderful experience. But that joy and that that sadness, which is so, I think, what must really characterize the... well, as I think of Pope Benedict, who said the false deities will be unmasked through the suffering faith of humble believers. We who have the faith, who live the faith, certainly try to live the faith, we do carry within us a certain suffering because it's... I spoke about this on Sunday at the Mass. This is something that... It's that pearl that has no price, a hidden treasure, and you've got it, and it's not... It really isn't about feeling, although sadness is a feeling, suffering is a feeling, joy is a feeling, but it's deeper than that. I don't know how to explain it. But with the faith and the sacrifice that comes with it and the willingness to make the sacrifice because you don't want to lose that pearl that is priceless or that hidden treasure, and you want to share it, you want to give it to everybody. And this is so that it's a kind of a dual sadness. One sadness on the one hand, because you know that you're the impediment, that I'm the barrier or the impediment because of my own weakness, my own sins, my own idiosyncrasies, my own inability to give fully of myself to God, that I'm an impediment to conveying to others, to communicating to others this beautiful gift. And so there's a sadness in that, but also a sadness that others seemingly, truthfully don't want it, or they're not disposed or not receptive. So it's a sadness on, you know, a dual kind of a sadness. The joy is that, I can't explain it. It's not. That's why I never. Back in the 70s, there was this popular image of Jesus that was going around. It was the happy Jesus, the smiling Jesus. I never could identify with that.
Yeah.
And obviously, most people didn't because it didn't. It's not around. You don't see it anywhere.
Right.
You know. Anyway, think about it. Think among you. What do they say?
Talk among
yourselves. And we got to take a break, and then I'll tell you the good news about the Confirmandi. Okay, are you with me on this? I mean, this is so okay. And why did I bring that up anyway?
It was a good digression.
John Paul II and Mother Teresa. I don't know, but anyway, we shall be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Here's some welcome news. Father Anthony is reopening St. Stanislaus Kostka for the worship of Almighty God. St. Stan's will be limited to 150 people at any given time, and you must register to attend Mass. Because there's a lot of information that you'll need to have, we recommend that you visit ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. You can also register to attend Mass at St. Stan's by calling the parish office at 773-278-2470. That's 773-278-2470. St. Stan's is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Because of the unprecedented COVID-19 virus pandemic, the Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's needs your immediate help. The Soup Kitchen is asking for your donations of water, juice boxes, individual food servings, hand sanitizers, and Lysol. The Providence Soup Kitchen at St. Stan's is operating regular hours during this pandemic. The Soup Kitchen is operated by the Daughters of St. Mary Providence from the basement of St. Stanislaus Kloska Church, which serves over 21,000 meals per year. To offer your help, please call Sister Darlene at 773-870-2435. That number again is 773-870-2435. Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. For the life of me, I don't know how I got into the whole thing on Pope John Paul II and Mother Teresa. Oh, I think it was because how the spirit moves, yeah, mysteriously.
So it all comes back to you.
It all comes back. So I had to set a date for the confirmation, knowing that I was going to do the confirmation. I went out and I bought a crozier and a mitre. Mm-hmm. I thought I was supposed to do that. And then they said, no, you're not supposed to dress like a bishop. You know, not,
what? I can't do it. You know,
I'm just joking. I didn't do God.
No.
God spares me right. such power. No, I wouldn't do that at all. But it was really a privilege to, mm-hmm, to be able to do the confirmation. So in setting the date, I thought, okay, we get the date, the 26th of July. We'll have the first confirmation. But what are the readings? I got to see what the readings are. And I thought, oh, these are perfect. These readings are beautiful for the confirmation. Mm-hmm. So. And what were the readings? Is everybody who's listening remembers so well? So you tell me, do you remember the readings?
Yes, Solomon. I'm not
going to put you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So he's asked.
Yes.
By God what he wants.
So go ahead.
He's asked by God what he wants, and he says, I'll give you anything. And he says, I want to understand right from wrong. I want to know, right, you know. He basically asked for understanding, and he could have asked for anything, and right, God would have gave it to him.
Right.
But he asked for understanding.
Yeah, so what I suggested was it was a little bit how God puts, mm-hmm, us to the test, you know, because he did say he came to Solomon in, mm-hmm, in a dream. Solomon was the son of David. David was the first king, and so he succeeded his father, and he very young, mm-hmm, very young, like these people that were the young people being confirmed, and God came to him in a dream, as you said, and he says, ask, as you just said, he says, ask something of me, and I will give it to you. And Solomon said, O Lord, my God, you have made me your servant king to succeed my father David, but I am a mere youth, not knowing at all how to act. So I serve you in the midst of the people whom you've chosen, a people so vast that I cannot that it cannot be numbered or counted. So give your servant, therefore, an understanding heart to judge and to distinguish right from wrong. And God responded and said, because you've asked for this, you didn't ask for a long life for yourself. You didn't ask for riches. You didn't ask for the life of your enemies, but for understanding, so that you may know what is right, I do as you requested. I give you a heart so wise and understanding that there has never been anyone like you up until now. So that, and then of course that was the first reading from the book of Kings, and then the gospel was the hidden treasure. We just talked about that. Mm-hmm. I just spoke about the pearl that has no price, the hidden treasure. You know, the man sells everything in order to come into the to buy the field that has the hidden treasure, or sells everything in order to be able to buy the pearl that is priceless. What was interesting is, so we said, oh, this is appropriate. These will be good readings for a confirmation on a Sunday. And then about a week before, last week, midway last week, I got all the questionnaires back from that the students had put together. And I started reading them. And one of the questions was, What would you ask of God? What gift of the Spirit would you most desire, or do you most desire, something to that effect? And you know, and this is, people, I'm not exaggerating, and I wish I hadn't shredded them so I could, you know, but I can't show you over the radio, you couldn't see them anyway, but I could read it.
Right.
But almost, I think every one of them, we're talking about 24 people, young people, said understanding.
Wow.
To know right from wrong. Now, they had no idea what the reading was. They had no idea what the reading was. Can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, that was confirmation that this was going to be a real confirmation.
And isn't it? It's in these little moments when you really see the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
And I think most people, they don't know it. And I believe it happens all the time. But when you start realizing God in your life, you see it more than you normally
This is how you learn to understand how God speaks. Mm-hmm. You got to keep, keep yourself disposed, listen, show me the way. And they're young, you know, they're young, I was just blown away by that. Yeah. Speaking of being blown away, even the Mass, I don't know if you noticed, right before before the gospel was read, first of all, it was so hot because of the, you know, and everybody's got a mask, you know, so I felt so bad for the people, but... And we actually, even using incense, and I did the short Eucharistic prayer because I was I could see how the people were suffering. Although nobody complained, but you know, when everybody's fanning themselves, everybody was fanning themselves. You could see the sweat. Yeah. Two people did faint.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, I try to do this is not, mm-hmm. I didn't rush the Mass.
Right.
But I thought, how are we going to, I don't want to keep them here longer than they have to be here in this hot church. We used incense. We did the long gospel because it was appropriate for that. I did the short Eucharistic prayer, but I had 24 confirmations. And I tried to keep the homily shorter than normal. And I think I did.
Mm-hmm.
But we had everything, an hour and a half.
Yeah.
You know? And we had it, the Mass began at 3 o'clock, right at 3 o'clock we began, and we ended at 4:30. Because by the time I got into the sacristy, it was 4:30, so I had even gone and blessed. Boy, they were happy with the blessing, I'm sure, the holy water just at the end.
Yeah.
But it was a very moving experience. I have to say, though, what was hard... Because they had their names, their saints' names, mm-hmm. so I couldn't see their real names. I didn't recognize a lot of them because they had the masks. We all had masks on during the confirmation itself, and I didn't do what the bishop does. When the bishop comes, he talks to them, and
there's no time for that.
And it was hot. You know, why'd you choose the name Anthony, or why'd you choose?
I was hoping for the little smack, but I don't think.
Right. So that was when I was confirmed. We had the slap across the face, which was part of the tradition, you know. And what it meant is, you know, it was kind of a symbol of you're a soldier of Christ, and you got to fight the good fight, and you got to be ready to
defend,
even to martyrdom. But what I did do is the two things I did that the bishop normally doesn't do is I called each of them by name.
Mm.
So I had them each stand, you know, at the beginning, before the homily, called them each by name. And then during the confirmation, usually when the bishop is here, he has the general prayer, he prays mm-hmm. over everybody. Then when they come up, he'll meet with them individually and ask them, why did you choose this? This is what I see most of the bishops do. Mm-hmm. Why did you choose Anthony? Because all you see is their confirmation name. And something about the sponsor. Why did you choose your sponsor? Who's this your sponsor and all that? But what I did is I did the prayer, the actual prayer, mm-hmm. over each student. And what we did different too, and then the anointing, sealing mm-hmm. them with the chrism, oil of chrism. But also I had them, and to me, I can tell somebody I was saying before the Mass or during one of the Masses mm-hmm. in the morning. about that I was doing the confirmation, and I made that kind of joke. I said, yeah, I went out and I bought a miter and a crozier, and then I said, you know, of course I'm joking, and it's not in God's plan that right. I would ever be a bishop. I wouldn't want to be a bishop.
And nobody laughed.
Somebody said, yeah, some people, you know, some people really don't want the power. And I don't mean that it was said in a sense, you know, that you're power hungry. But I said, no, but I'd like to be the Pope. Yes, I would like very much to be Pope, not a bishop. And the Pope is a bishop. He's a bishop of Rome. But to be a head of the church, because then I could make the decisions, right? There are certain things I would like to change.
Yeah.
And I mean change in a good sense, you know. So, but that's maybe it sounds arrogant for me even to say that. But one of the things that I like, and I just, there's two things. I've said this many times on the radio, but that we pray ad orientem, that we pray facing the east. I would make that the universal law of the church. I would go back to that. It was up until 1965. And so for only, as one bishop said, who really brought the church back in his diocese to celebrating ad orientem, he said, the priest facing the people, this is a novelty. This is something new. But for in the earliest days of the church, as the Mass was, the Holy Mass was being, as it was coming into its, you know, it was a gradual codification, I guess, of the ritual of the Mass. All the elements were there, but for nearly 1,950 years, the priest always celebrated the sacred mysteries, looking to the Lord away from the people, but leading the people, not away from the people, but the shepherd leading the people as we renew our covenant and offer our lives in sacrifice, in union with that sacrifice of Christ to the Father, and then we receive Jesus in Holy Communion. That I would definitely, I'm completely, totally, 100% convinced in that this is key to the reform of the liturgy, the sacred liturgy, to the reform of the priesthood. It might seem very trite to some people, but it's just that simple change of gesture is transformative. And I've heard many, many people mention that as well. And I have to tell you this too, because I very rarely see things from your perspective, people from the pews and looking in. But before I say that, the other thing is kneeling for the confirmation, just as people kneel for Holy Communion. Have the option, but 98%, unless they can't kneel, everybody kneels. But kneeling for confirmation, because I had a cross just like they would for communion. And there's something about having everybody, there's a certain solidarity, you know. You've got everybody kneeling, and we kept the social distance, it was six feet apart, and we had different groups because we couldn't accommodate all 24 at one time. But just the solemnity of the kneeling, and it's like in fact I've got the picture in my room of a knight kneeling before a woman who represents Our Lady. Somebody gave this to me as a gift. It's a very beautiful gift. I have it over my bed, and it's a medieval painting of medieval times. It was very beautiful, and so the knight who looks kind of like me, you know, when I was really, really young.
Like me.
Didn't see his face. You just, but he's kneeling there, and the woman who, very beautiful woman, but looks like kind of like the what's her name in the Lord of the Rings.
Oh,
what's her name? Galadriel. Galadriel. But she's knighting the knight, and it's like. It really has that sense, you know. You're being anointed, and you truly you are. It's not a sense. In fact, you're being anointed to go into battle. Boy, that gives me some ideas for the to speak about, you know, for the next confirmation.
Right.
But you're kneeling there, and you're being anointed to go into battle, to fight the good fight, to defend the faith.
I tell you that I guess the first time or the last time there was the confirmation, I had my nephews Ricky and Alex, and I think you were gone. You might
right,
have been
right. I was in Rochester.
And the bishop came, and I was hoping that he would turn, and he didn't. So I didn't realize that now because I'm so used. This is what we do.
Right.
So it didn't really impress me as much because this is what we normally do. But I was going when you were talking. I was thinking about the last time, which I was hoping he would have turned around and did it, but he chose not to.
Right. Right.
And I'm thinking too, the church was more packed because sometimes there's a sure. lot more, you know, getting confirmed. And because we broke it up like that, there's something nicer about it being, you know, a two mass or a three mass, whatever, just to
how was
smaller.
That from your, now you were a sponsor, you mm-hmm. were, you and Angelica were sponsors yeah. to your nephew. How, just from your perspective, having the confirmandi
kneel. Oh, it was nice. You know, it's like, dare I say, I'm as you describe it now, it's setting in. It didn't at the time because I was hot and I was, you know, running around. But I mean, there was something about just being there and the kneeling. I just, because we know we had to put your, you know, hand on the, and,
right.
But it's like, it's nice. It was nice way of doing it.
Yeah, so the other thing that happened, maybe I may be repeating myself, I don't know, but right before the gospel, I mentioned there was this strong, first of all, it was so hot that I was thinking about the flames of fire, the right. tongues of fire.
But
I think I might have made some mention of it, you know, because it just felt like the place was a blaze and fire. Mm-hmm. And that you couldn't see the fire, but you could feel it. It was yeah. so hot. It's like we were all gathered around a bonfire. Mm-hmm. So the fire of the Holy Spirit. So that's mm-hmm. a symbol of the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit. Then the other thing was right then, as I was thinking about that, then all of a sudden this because we had the side doors open, right. and so there was all of a sudden, I could see the tree out, the wind that was yeah. just blowing the tree, and then even the altar cloth was blown, not blown away, but it was, I had to straighten it out as I went.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that really was impressive to me was at the end, we genuflected at the, now no processions and all that because we're in this following regulations mm-hmm. for the COVID. You know, Nick, I don't even know what time it is. This thing went off, so am I? Okay.
12:57.
Yeah, okay. So at the end of the Mass, I went, mm-hmm. And after the final blessing, I blessed all the religious articles. So they had scapulars or rosaries or Bibles or prayer books. And I just told people, you know, I offered the prayer from the from the chair and from the sanctuary, and then I went down and with the holy water, as they're doing the recessional hymn, blessed everybody. And that meant that the religious, the sacramentals were all mm-hmm. blessed as well. When I got to the end and I turned around and I'm looking into the sanctuary, because I never, you know, I'm always in the sanctuary, right. and I saw the deacon and the altar servers standing there in formation, so to speak. It was a very impressive sight. Yeah. Our faith is so beautiful. The Catholic faith is so beautiful. And I just wrote this morning, and we'll kind of end here because we're out of time now, but that we can't allow the sacred liturgy to morph into entertainment. Mm-hmm. It cannot. We've got to renew our gaze on the Lord. All right, so we've come to the end of the hour. Thanks very much for being with us. We'll be back eventually, certainly Thursday, God willing. Father Coys will be here tomorrow.
Yep.
So Almighty God bless all of you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
To say when the world makes no sense, do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell strong, but the inside is wrought. It's time to be stirred. The time